guys, Working Class on Deercast. We're back again with another episode. Kurt Geyer here, co-host Doug Schmidt.
Schmidt,
the mustache. Jeez. And Chris Zegger from Ohio, man. What's going on, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
You got big bucks in the background, and I'm sure you're adding your most recent one to that collection this year, huh?
Yeah, this one's quite a bit bigger than the ones in the background.
Yeah. So you're based out of Ohio.
Yep.
And I don't know, you don't got to give away your location, but you had a pretty cool story, and you know, you've been a big supporter of Working Class Bowhunter for a long time. You're on Team WCB, rocking the hat. So thank you for the support, man, and the friendship, and over the years, it's been awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
And so let's talk about this buck, because I like the story behind this. Not only did you kill a big buck, but we talked a little bit early in the season, and you were kind of torn on what to do or how to go about it because of a unique situation you were in. So I'll let you break that down wherever you want to start the story, man, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, so it was probably it was a week before Ohio bow season came in. I coached football, and I got home from football practice early one night, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to shoot my bow. And I went out. It was early in the evening. I went out and grabbed my bow, and as soon as I started, the first arrow started drawing back, and my shoulder popped out of socket.
God.
Halfway back.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Popped right out.
Like it tore my AC joint and my shoulder. So I went to the ER that night, and that actually is funny because the guy, the doctor I saw at the ER, he was a bow hunter, and he obviously asked how it happened, and I told him, and he looked at me and goes, I hope you don't hit crossbows.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So have you had a previous shoulder injury prior to that?
Well, not really. I dislocated it in high school playing baseball, but, I mean, that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. After that, like, I think I talked to you about it. I was really torn on whether to even hunt at all or just sit the year out because I just didn't know how to feel about shooting a crossbow. But
yeah, which is understandable.
After talking to you, you said, dude, it's better than not being out there at all. So
yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, and I respect you like being like, man, I don't really want to do the crossbow thing. Like that's one of those things. It's a preference thing. I don't crossbow hunt. I think if I had an injury, I would. I think this is probably good to get out of the way now, so people aren't thinking that we're like crossbow haters. We joke around about crossbows on the normal Working Class Bow Hunter podcast, but you know, I think they're great for kids. I think they're great for people that have injuries and stuff like
that. Yeah, if you actually need to use it.
Yeah, and so I would have done the same thing, Chris. I really would have. Wouldn't you, Doug?
Yeah, for sure.
You have to.
Really? Rather than not hunting?
No. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I figured it was better. I don't know. It was probably better than just doing gun hunting alone. To me, I don't. Maybe not. Some people might see it different, but.
Because what's the gun season in Ohio? I mean, you don't get that much time to gun hunt, do you?
No, maybe 9, 10 days total.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the crossbow.
Yeah, because I'm assuming you can hunt the regular archery season with the crossbow in Ohio.
Yeah, yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer to me, I think.
I agree.
Right.
But, I mean, your pride's hurt, I'm sure. Or was.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, especially when you shoot your biggest deer with one. Yeah,
that would happen, right?
Yeah, I know, and that's. As soon as I seen that deer, I was like, oh shit, this is going to be with a crossbow.
Yeah, that's all right. So it was just out of the question. It's like, don't draw a regular compound count.
Oh yeah. I even gave it like a 2-3 weeks, and I have like a 35 pound recurve. And I thought, you know what? I'm starting to feel pretty good. I was like, you know what? I think I could probably pull 50. So I like went to go pull that bow back, and I got like a quarter of the way back, and then nope.
I thought you were gonna say it popped back out again.
I didn't want to get to that point, so I just knew it wasn't gonna work.
Yeah. So did you have to go buy a crossbow?
Yeah.
You don't have to get into brands or nothing like that, but you go to the store, like, well, I guess I want a compound bow hunt, but I have this shoulder injury. You buy your crossbow. I mean, let's talk about like first. Have you ever shot one prior to this?
Yeah, I mean, I've shot them before. Like, I have nothing against them. Absolutely nothing against them. It just, I mean, I
yeah,
to me, I would rather shoot a compound. If people need to use them, they need to use them. If that's how you need to get out in the woods,
of course, use them. Of course. I'm just trying to get into your mindset a little bit, because your game plan's already switched from how you saw your season going right off the rip, and you have an injury that sucks.
Right.
So, I mean, did you start to feel better about it once you started to shoot it and stuff like that?
Yeah, just because I knew, like, I mean, the crossbows nowadays, what you can get out of them is incredible as far as performance.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure it makes – I mean, you probably have a different type of confidence, right, with something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you feel pretty good shooting one. But then again, I mean, I felt this was – that's what sucked. This year was the year, like, I've never felt more comfortable shooting a bow this year. You know, I shot all summer long. Like, this year, like, I was the best I'd ever felt about shooting a bow.
Man, that's crazy. You shot all summer and then just right before season.
Just randomly.
Yeah.
It just gives out. I mean, I could maybe understand this story a little bit more if you were like, man, I hadn't shot all year because I was busy. And you know what I mean? Like, if you went in like cold, but the fact that you were like preparing for season and then your shoulder to just be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not really going to do this year.
That's no for me, dog.
Right.
Yeah. Your shoulder just hit you with the Randy Jackson. It's a no for me, dog.
Irish goodbye.
A what?
An Irish goodbye.
What's that?
Where you just leave the party.
Oh, an Irish
accent. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. Well, okay. That's what happened to Chris's shoulder. It just left.
Peace.
So let's talk about getting like hunting with it and stuff. Like first, give me like the review, first time taking it out hunting and all that. Just because it's new, you know what I mean? I feel like it would be, if that happened to me, knock on wood, I feel like I would have a couple podcasts explaining basically the thought process and the vibe of taking a crossbow to the woods for the first time.
Actually, I hunted twice with it. I killed this buck on the second sit with it.
No smokes. Kidding.
Yeah, like the first day I went out, I didn't even see anything. So it's not like I even got to kind of pick it up to even maneuver to see what it would be like, you know, in a stand to have to move around with it. It's completely different than, you know, shooting a bow.
Yeah.
Like shooting a compound.
I was under the impression that you've been out a bunch of times. Yeah, I didn't realize it was like the second day.
No, it was legit the second sit of the year.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, it's kind of like karma, like paying you back a little bit, like in a good way.
Maybe.
It's like, man, sorry about your shoulder.
Here.
Right.
Here's an opportunity.
Here's a big buck.
So break it down, man. This is a buck you've been watching?
No, actually, that's the craziest thing of this. This deer, we had absolutely... So me and my brother hunt about 1,500 acres, and we have a camera on about every farm around there, and all these farms join each other. And we had absolutely no pictures of this deer. We had a couple of deer, big deer that we were going after, and this deer just showed up out of absolutely nowhere.
Wow.
I checked the camera. I had a camera about 20 yards from where I shot him, and I had two pictures of him. One was the night of him going down into this creek bottom, and the other one was from the night before. So he literally showed up 2 days before I shot him.
Dang, that's awesome, man. That's better. Yeah. It's a bonus buck.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I had no clue where he came from. I don't know if they started cutting corn around there and it kind of pushed him down into this creek bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he just absolutely showed up from nowhere.
So how far was this deer when you're sitting the night you shot him? How far is he when you first seen him?
Probably 70 yards.
So he's in the wheelhouse like pretty quick.
Yeah, like this creek bottom, it's a big, thick creek bottom. And whenever there's corn around this creek bottom, like this farm is a gold mine. I don't know, for some reason, it's even good with beans, but whenever there's corn around it, like this creek bottom is just an absolute gold mine with big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that morning I'd seen a couple small bucks and a couple of does. This creek bottom is just so thick you could barely see through it. And I looked up and I could see a deer moving, then I could see an antler. But it's so thick I could only see just the bits and pieces of his rack here and there.
Yeah.
So I pulled up the binoculars. Finally he stopped and started making some scrapes, and I could only see one side. But finally I got a good look at the one side, and that one side was all I needed to see.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's dude. That's no awesome. Brainer because it's a stud, man. A stud.
Yeah, he is.
We'll throw some pictures of him on the video podcast here.
Yeah, I have him sitting. I have the rack sitting right here too.
Can you grab it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, wide sucker. So, what side did you see first?
I would have seen his this side right here.
So you see him not in the bigger six, side. 60, 70 yards when you first see him. Then all right, then what?
Yep. So then, like, so this creek bottom, the other, there's a couple holes in the fence, like where this, because it's a big cattle pasture. There's a couple holes in the fence that the deer will always go out into this cut cornfield. Well, usually that's what they do. They come along the edge and then they'll kind of speed out into that cut cornfield. Well, he passed the first one. I thought, oh, because that's when I first seen him. I said, oh shit, he's just going to go out to that cut cornfield and feed, and then go off down to the neighboring farm. We moved past the first spot where he would have crossed, got to the second, started making some scrapes and rubs, and stood there for like 10, 15 minutes, just kind of milling around. Mm-hmm. And then he walked past the second spot where he would have crossed through the fence. And he gets up to the fence to where I'm at, and he's standing there looking around. And I thought, oh shit, like this actually might happen.
Yeah.
You know, you never see, you always see big deer like this, but they never follow the script. So oh, for sure.
Yeah.
They do. All he had to do, once he jumped the fence, he would have been, he was 30 yards broadside, nothing in the way.
Yeah.
So he kind of just sat there, and there was another little buck behind me. So I was kind of turning around to watch him just because once that deer jumped the fence, I didn't want to, you know, spook that small buck behind me and have the big buck blow out.
Right.
So I was turning around looking, and all of a sudden I hear like the fence shake. And he had jumped the fence like right in front of me, 30 yards. He took about 6-7 steps and stood there. So I picked up the crossbow, and like I hadn't really done a whole lot with my shoulder since I heard it. Well, like he kind of got behind a tree to where I went ahead and took the safety off and picked it up and had it on him. Well, he got behind a tree to where his vitals were covered. Well, he stayed behind that tree for like 3 or 4 minutes. Well, not using my shoulder for a while, like my shoulder started shaking really bad just because I hadn't used it in a while.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So then he took like one step, and as soon as he took a step, like I shot him.
Did you just hammer him or what?
No, like I don't, and that's maybe it's because these crossbows are so loud and so fast. I think when I shot, he kind of turned into the arrow. So I think, I know Doug would remember it, our Team WCB Snapchat.
I never remember anything in that.
I remember,
yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you would. I know Doug remembers it.
Doug's a Snapchat expert. Hit him up.
So like I shot, and I think he kind of turned into it. And I couldn't see the arrow just because those things shoot so damn fast that you have no clue where they're at. So the one thing I don't like about it is it shoots so fast that you can't see anything.
That's what I was going to bring up. I was going to ask you if that was the case, but that makes perfect sense, you know?
Yeah, those things shoot so fast. Like, I had no clue where. I knew I'd hit them just because it was a good, like, loud, solid, you know, hollow hit.
Diaphragm pop type sound?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, like, I had no clue. So he runs about 50 yards and gets behind a couple of trees. I could kind of see, I knew where he'd went. This little stretch of woods I was in is probably 80 yards wide and 200-300 yards long. It's pretty open. I knew he didn't keep running down the ends. I had no clue where he'd went.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of minutes, he stepped out from behind a couple of trees and standing there. I could tell I'd hit him. I knew it was kind of back. It was lung/liver. So he steps out, takes two steps, just stands there and just beds down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you saying that. Just bed there forever.
Well, yeah, so like he sits there, he lays there, and it was close enough to get another shot, but there were some branches in the way that I didn't want to send another one, you know, hit him in the neck or in the anywhere else and spook him up.
Yeah, yeah.
But he bedded down. So after about 15, 20 minutes, he stands up, takes like two steps, and just falls right back down and just kind of lays over. I'm like, man. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. So I waited about 45 minutes, like texting all you guys back and forth. And
yeah,
like eventually like, he'd kind of lift his head up for a couple minutes and just lay it back down.
This went on. I remember you keep saying like, oh, he's down. Oh, no, he's moving again.
He's down. Like, Is he down?
This went on for, I think, 3.5 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think I eventually ended up texting you
because
I didn't know I didn't know whether to, like, I knew he was hit bad to where he wasn't going to get up. I didn't know whether to get down and try to get close enough to get another shot in him, or, you know, just let him lay, you know, just let him lay and expire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hate to, like, try and sneak up, and then he gets up and runs, and then you lose him. But then you also, like, want to get in there and do him right and help him expire quicker.
And, like, I don't know, my thing was it was first thing in the morning, so, you know, I had all day to wait him out. If it would have been evening time, I think I probably would have got down, you know, maybe right before dark, just to try to get another arrow in him. But I figured, you know, I have all day, like, I'll wait this deer out all day if I have to.
Yeah. You want to get in there, but, man, I know what you're saying. You get torn, and you're not really sure what's the right call, because you don't want to. In hindsight, I should have done this, or kick yourself over something. Yeah, I get it.
Right. Yeah, I remember texting you, and you asked, you kind of were like telling me describe where I hit him and what he was doing, and you're like, yeah, dude, that's a dead deer. Just let him go.
Yeah.
He's yours.
Yeah, for sure.
So after, like, finally, like, he did this off and on for, it was 3.5 hours. I think I shot him at, like, 8:30, and this was, like, I told myself at noon, like, I have to get down at noon. Like, it's, like, miserable, like, just sitting there watching the biggest deer of your life laying 50 yards from you, and you're pretty sure you got him, but yet you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So finally, like, about the last half hour, like, he didn't even flinch, and so I got down. I told myself finally at noon, like, I'm going to get down. I called my brother and had him. He parked up, like, at the end of the road. And I told him, I was like, dude, like just go park up there. Like, if he, like, runs out, like, let me know where he goes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got down and started, like, sneaking up on him. And he was dead as a doornail.
Yeah. So, what was it like picking him up?
Like, complete shock. Like, I knew he was really, really good. Once he jumped the fence, like, that is, I quit looking at antlers once he jumped the fence. Yeah. But before, like, smart, that's all you could look at. Move. Like, yeah, he's a big deer. Like, and his, yeah, he's got a lot going on with him.
Yeah, he's, hold him up again if you don't mind. That's a stud, dude. I was so happy for you when you were, you know, sending pictures. I did see the pictures, of course, when you started sending them and all that, and we talked, like you said, but that's a big buck, man. Wide as all heck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got, like, and in both his side, each side is, like, completely different than the other.
Yeah.
Like, this side right here is just really kind of tall. This side right here, really long main beams and just short tines.
What was the beam on that side? Do you remember?
It's crazy. Like, both sides measure within an inch of each other.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they're completely different.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's left beam looks long as heck. But yeah, the right beam has more curve. Do you know how long that left beam was?
No, I don't. I have a sports sheet of him.
It don't matter. I just was curious. Yeah. He's a stud, man. Do you know what he went total? Do you remember?
Yeah, one right at 154.
Awesome, man. Is that your biggest buck?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Really? See, yeah. Some of the bucks behind you look good, man. I mean, you got some good deer, but...
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of that 125, 130 class deer.
Yeah.
Those are hard for me to pass up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's you start getting...
Can't,
like,
blame me for that.
...a good rack. Where you're at in Ohio, I mean, do a lot of guys kill, like, that 150-plus buck, or is it... I know it's kind of regional.
No, we're kind of right on the edge of where it's the really, really good stuff is.
Gotcha. Well, awesome, man. Did you have a bunch of people, like, did anybody come forward, like neighbors or anybody like that have trail cam pictures of that buck or anything?
No, like, even, like, I know a couple of the guys that hunt right next door, even these guys had no clue where they came from.
Just a go. Yep.
Wow. Bonus buck, man. That's the best case scenario, in my opinion.
Right.
That's awesome. Because, wow. I mean, think about it. You have your trail cam photos. You think you know what deer are there, and you're kind of counting on that. Well, then if a bonus one comes on, you weren't even counting on him. And it's like, all right, well, then things are just normal now, and you have a buck down.
Yeah.
Right.
But Ohio's a one-buck state, correct?
Yep.
So you're tagged out.
I needed to start shooting some does, though.
Yeah, buck tagged out.
Yeah, yep.
What was the date on this?
October 23rd.
Dang, so early. Nice. We recorded with Steve Staff from Minnesota. He killed his the 23rd? Or the 22nd? Or 24th? Right in there.
Yeah, I know he was right within a day of me.
Yeah, yeah. That would have to be, I killed my buck on the 21st, Judd killed his buck on the 21st, and you and Steve were right after.
Yeah, I killed, mine was Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's crazy. That was such good. I think we have to go back and look at the moon phase, but I remember Deercast was on fire in that chunk.
Yeah, absolutely. That Deercast is legit as far as, I know, like, the predictions are predictions, and obviously I know here you hear people say, well, if you need an app to tell you when to hunt, you don't need to be hunting. Like, and that's true, but that confidence boost that gives you is, for me, is incredible.
Yeah. Well, I use it as actually kind of like my everything. It's a social media. It's a good right. social media, 'cause it's hunters.
Yeah.
Right. It's a video library. It's a tool like Deercast Track, all that. I'm sure you got on Deercast Track when you were watching that buck lay there.
No, that's the crazy thing. I completely forgot about doing that.
'Cause you were so occupied or what?
It was. Yeah. Like,
I mean, you've seen him laying there.
Yeah. I think I might have to return my loopholes, 'cause I think I might've burnt the glass out of looking through so much.
That's awesome, dude. I'm telling you, doesn't that make a big difference, being able to look through some binos, like see what's going on, especially if you have an animal down or if you have to sneak up on an animal, whether it's an animal you've wounded, one you're waiting out like that, or a spot in stock. You just know so much more than what you would have without them. The FOMO, man, fear of missing out. Don't have it. I can't go hunting without binos now for anything.
Yeah. And I used to I would carry them if I would take them, but now I'm the same way. Like,
gotta have
them.
Having them in a good harness and then being able to have them at the ready. Plus your rangefinder's right there with your binos. It's just, yeah, I feel so naked without them in the woods. And then I hate it because normally I'll set them in my front passenger seat while I'm driving, in case I see a deer in a field and just want to check it out. And days I forget it, I hate it, because it's just so nice to have that. It's fun. But man, that is awesome. Congratulations on an absolute stud.
Thanks. Yeah, congrats, buddy.
Way to get it done. Way to get through an injury and make the best out of what you had. And I think anybody listening or viewing would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
And I know
I do find that I get shoulder surgery here at the end of the month now.
Oh, man.
So good luck. Back to normal by the end of the year.
What's your recovery time? Did they give you
4 to 6 weeks?
Oh, okay.
Not too bad.
Yeah, he said it's pretty simple.
You'll be back in the game, man.
You'll be back in the game. I probably need to think about going down to 60 pound, though.
I mean, that's enough.
Yeah,
no problem with that.
Yeah, but I just thought that story was interesting. One, it's a great, great deer. But two, it's like an interesting, it's a bow hunter's worst fear is having a shoulder injury and having to switch it up. But I just thought it was a great story because you did switch it up and you were cool with it and it worked out. And just a different perspective on things.
Great comeback story.
Right. Yeah, it is a great comeback story. So congrats, man. I'm glad you took the time out of your day to do this. And man, hopefully you wax another one with a compound next year and get back on the compound tree. Yeah, a bigger one.
Yeah, hopefully. Yep.
There'll be another mystery buck in there for you.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like Austin wasn't lying when he said you can't trip into 150, because there are not many 150-inch deer out there. Like,
it's a big buck.
There's a lot of 130s, but like to get into 150, 160-inch deer, like there's just not a lot of them out there.
Yeah, it's just a different category of buck.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
So it makes it so awesome, though, and it works out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Hey, do you want to shout anybody out or anything, or where can people find you or anything like that? Feel free.
Yeah, they can find me on Facebook, Instagram, right? Chris Zegger. Pretty damn easy.
Okay.
But I want to give you guys a huge shout out. You guys have always been something to lean on, like, you know, your podcast. I've said it before, I think you can learn more from your guys' podcast than watching any hunting show on TV.
Thanks, man. That means a lot.
Thank you.
We try. We're goofy sometimes, but that does mean a lot.
We try.
Yeah. But you're also a good time while you do it, though, too.
Well, that's the goal, right? We just want to have a good time, and hopefully if you can learn something cool, if you're entertained, it's almost even better. So we appreciate you supporting us, man. It means a lot. And you know, but definitely doesn't go unnoticed.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully I'll see you guys at Ohio this year at the Deer and Turkey Expo.
I'm hoping everything continues as normal and COVID stays away. But yeah, we're looking forward to doing the Ohio is one of our favorite places to go. That's we were so bummed last year when it got canceled.
I think you've missed the last 2 years there now, right?
Has it been the last 2 years?
I think two. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think just maybe it has been. Why did we miss the year before? I thought we went the year before. Maybe I'm like all mixed up maybe because of skipping a year.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, we have Columbus on the radar, man. We're going to be there unless they cancel it. We'll be there.
Yeah, I'm about 45 minutes north of there. So
okay, perfect,
perfect. Yeah, absolutely. We got a pretty cool place we're staying. One of my best friends lives in Columbus, and yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a dang good time.
Yep.
We'll see you there, man. Well, cool, dude. Anyone else you want to shout out quick before we go?
No, that's about it, man.
Dougie Fresh,
congrats on your buck again. And good luck on your surgery.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, good luck with that. We'll have to follow up with you on the podcast series here. And how about you'll kill a 200 next year with the compound?
Boom.
And then we'll do a follow-up.
I like it. As long as the mustache says it's going to happen.
Ooh, any predictions?
It might.
Too early.
200 inches is saying a lot. I can't give that much out of the mustache.
It's a little too early.
Easy, easy. 170. Okay, 170 is fine.
Well,
all right, I'll take one.
Oh, dang. He's handing out 170s now. Doug, can I get him 170?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I like it. Chris, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and watching here at Working Class on DeerCast. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We love you. Hey guys, another Giant Tracker segment. We are here with Chase Saylor, and he's obviously working really hard in whatever he's in right now.
Yeah, something like that.
You're an excavator, you said?
Yeah, yep, excavator.
I love it, man. So are you a full-time like farmer? Is that what you're doing,
yep,
farm work?
Full-time farm with my dad and a bunch of other guys. So, yep, family farm since 1942.
Very cool. Love it. Love it. And apparently you guys kill big bucks in your spare time.
I wouldn't say every year, but I've got big bucks to go after that I don't kill every year. But I got lucky in 2019. But
well, it's the effort that counts, right?
There's no lack of effort, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Which I feel like that's what happens most of the time anyway.
Right, right. Well, I mean, sometimes it pays off. So, and that's why you're here, man. We're talking big bucks.
I like it. We can talk about that all day.
Right, even if you're working.
That's right.
So, so let's talk about it, man. Like, where's the story of this buck start?
Yeah, I would say... So first off, timeline here, the buck was killed December 8th of 2019. So from there, let's flash back 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so that would be 2017. I saw this deer. I had velvet pictures of him, and that's the only time I ever got pictures of him. He wasn't even on my radar at that point. I had this other deer I was going after called Redemption. He was killed by the neighbor, and he was like 182, I believe. And this deer that I named Towers wasn't even on my radar at the moment because, you know, I've got velvet pictures of him. First time I've seen him, who knows where he could be. Mm-hmm. And so forward another year, I got his pictures on 9/11, hence why I call him Towers. Mm-hmm. And so he showed up on 9/11. He was a 6x6. And I didn't really see him much throughout the beginning of the season. And then once November hit, started picking up pictures of him and a little bit during nighttime. But mm-hmm. It's so crazy. The main farm that he was on was a 300-acre farm. And he would just be so random. Like, mm-hmm. I get all the time, like, the amount of times I've seen this deer, everybody was like, how did you not kill him? Like, the previous year, like, well... I suck or either it's a lot harder than I think. But I mean, he was just bouncing around back and forth. And after Christmas of 2018 till end of season of January of 2019, mm-hmm. I saw him on hoof while hunting 11 times, I believe.
Impressive.
And I mean, it was like anywhere I went, he would show up, but it would be, you know, at just out of bow range.
Right.
And, or I would be sitting in the stand and, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to that stand, but, and he would be underneath the other stand right across the field at 20 yards. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of how the season 2018 and 19 ended, just playing cat and mouse with them, literally seeing them all the time. And in my honest opinion, my favorite time of the season is right now. You know, this is muzzleloader season in Illinois. And from after muzzleloader till the end of the year, this is what I love, because, I mean, I've got a ton of standing beans and corn, and I feel like the woods are just quiet again. And if anything is like the beginning of October, is right now. I mean, you can start pattern the deer a little bit more. And I mean, I think that's a big reason why I saw towers just so much. I mean, no hunting pressure besides me. And I was just hunting the edges and playing it smart, getting in and out real easy. And but probably the one story I will tell about the 2018, 2019 season is, so I was literally hunting this deer any legal way you possibly could. So I resorted to a crossbow on the last, probably the last week of season. He was coming out in the middle of fields, and just, I didn't have any stands where he was coming. So I was like, I'm going to try to put a literally lay out in the middle of a field with a ghost blind and try to kill this deer with a crossbow. And the last day of season of 2018, 2019, I was walking to my stand, and I literally pull my binocs up, and he's bedded underneath my stand. His back's rubbing up against my he's rubbing up against my sticks. And I'm like, yeah, this makes a whole lot of sense. So
it's like, what the heck?
I don't even have a crossbow, so I had to borrow my buddy's crossbow. So, you know, I shot it quite a bit to feel comfortable with it, and it, I mean, it's a tack driver. So I was like, all right, he's going to cross the road here, come down this fence row. I'm just going to crawl up here about 50 yards away from where he's going to come out at. And, you know, it'd be perfect, you know, be a good way to end the season. So I belly crawled in this ditch for about 150, 200 yards, got set up, and lo and behold, probably 30 minutes till dark, all of these does started coming out, and he was the last one.
Of course.
And you know, the crazy thing is, I had a great wind. All the does literally walked right by at 50 yards. I could have, you know, I was in the prone position. I mean, I didn't even have to move besides pull the trigger. And he just came trotting down the fence row, stopped at 50 yards, broadside. I mean, it was going to be it right here. Went to flip the safety off. Nope, safety is frozen on the crossbow. And I mean, usually I'm just fiddle farting around with the safety all the time to see if it works. Nope, not this day. I mean, I would have peed on it, whatever, to unthaw it.
Blown on it.
Yeah, no, it was frozen. And he felt like he was standing there for like 10 minutes, but it was probably 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I mean, just it was a terrible ending to the season. Literally watched him try. I mean, he finally got spooked after I was like about ready to throw the crossbow at him.
Yeah.
And he trotted off into this wide open field like I saw him almost every night do. And I walked back to the truck about with 15 minutes left to light. And that's how my season ended. And
at least you know he's going to, well, you hope he's going to make it, right? After that, you're like, man, it's just unfortunate, but you think it's adding.
Yeah, everything goes through my mind, though. Like, he's like, literally, you could drive around on this road and see this deer almost every night. So I'm like, all right, well, he's going to get shot
by a poacher or something crazy like that.
And literally, he was always, I got his picture almost always where you could see him from the road. I mean, he loved being on the edge of the woods where he could see all the vehicles come by, and it's like he just waved at them all. And yeah. There was a lot of people that knew about him. And I was so, fast forward into season of, or after the season of 19, I'm just trying like, all right, where's this deer going to show up at? And it was funny. In July and August, I got his picture on this, on another farm about a mile south of me. And he literally blew up. He was a 5x5 with a whole bunch of trash. And I shouldn't say whole bunch, but quite a bit of trash. and just super awesome deer. So of course I go set my stand up for to go kill him early season where he's at right now. And to this day, I haven't even hunted that stand because he obviously moved.
You're just getting prepared in case he did stick to what he was doing.
Yeah. And once it was a cornfield on the neighbor. And
before
I had beans.
Before we go any further, when you say he blew up, what was he the previous year to this year?
Well, like, many inches? I shouldn't say he blew up because he's probably 190 inch deer on as a 6x6. And then when I killed him, he was a 215. And I found one side of a shed and I mean, I don't know, he could have went 200 6x6, but when I say blow up, the first pictures I got of him in velvet, he looked like a dang, he didn't look real. I mean, he looked like a deer that you see, you know, Mark killing all the time.
I mean,
honestly, I didn't know how his head could pick up his rack just moving around. And I got some pretty cool Reconics footage of him just literally just moving his head side to side, and it was a surreal moment. I mean, I look back on that, just the amount of pictures I got him, because I got over 5,000 pictures of this deer. I mean, when you start erasing pictures of 215 inch deer, you know, it's like, it's unreal, really. I'm really thankful for that. But
anyway,
so from about middle of August till September 14th, I didn't get a single picture of him. And when I got his picture in on September 14th, he was out in the middle of a bean field on this about a 2 mile long ditch. The nearest woods is a mile away. And he was just staying out there pretty much for a whole month. And then October, and I didn't see him driving around either. I will say that summer of 19, I did not see him driving around. So I only got pictures of him. And so he was getting smart. And then October 15th, I got his picture on the camera on the farm that he was the previous year. And from October 15th till December 8th, he stayed on that farm, you know, I'll say 90% of the time.
No kidding. So you waited him out that long. You're a strong man. I would have got crazy on him and bumped him or something.
Well, you know, you know, I can't hunt much in October or even November with harvest going on. I mean, I try not to get amped up till deer season, till after harvest anyway, because it's going to do me no good. I mean, from October 15th till December 8th, I had several encounters with him. And the day before gun season, I watched him for literally 90 minutes at 100 yards away. And it's just like, well, yeah, I could have killed him there easy. And then November 13th was kind of his, I would say November 13th and 14th were his rut days. I mean, he was all over the place. And that's when I should have killed him with the bow, but I literally had him at 20 yards quartering away, and I was shooting a thumb release, pulled back, getting ready to settle in, and then thunk. Got caught on my neck gator, and that arrow is still not to be found today. I mean, he didn't know what happened, but I mean, whenever you hear a big loud thunk go off, I mean, you're going to be scared. So he literally ran about 100 yards out across the fence row and was walking along these beans at 37 yards. And I got another shot opportunity at him, and I'm like, man, 37 yards away, he's high alert. I literally, at this point, I'm not, you know, nerved up at this point. I'm just mad. Like, I want to kill this deer.
Right.
And so I literally aimed right underneath his chest. I'm like, he's going to drop like no other.
Yeah, you're right.
I shot that deer. I literally almost shot him in the spine. He was straight broadside. And he dropped, and I almost shot down the middle of his back. He dropped and turned so quick. And it's like, that just goes to show you, I mean, 37 yards, probably 300 feet per second bow, and drop that quick. And I was aiming underneath him.
That's crazy.
And it's like, I mean, it's just crazy.
Good on you, though. I mean, you're expecting that drop, especially on a deer that's high alert, which – you know, I think most people would have just put it on his lungs and then shot a foot over his back. But in a lot that, I mean, yeah, a lot of people don't realize till you watch footage of how much a deer drops, especially when they're on death comp five alert. So
I mean,
crazy.
I was self filming and the footage is terrible, but I did get some Tacticam footage to know how much he dropped. And his belly, when he turned, literally touched the ground when he was turning. I mean, I would say he probably dropped 2.5 to 3 feet. I mean,
incredible.
Just unreal. And so I did hit him just a little bit. There was blood. I was like, man, I may have got that main artery running along his back there and got lucky, because obviously didn't spine him because he didn't drop. And yeah. So I was like, okay, found my arrow. Didn't look great, but you know, I'm going to leap. I just took my arrow, went out, and I was like, I'll come back in the morning. Mm-hmm. So me and another buddy went out and started looking for him around 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. November 14th. And we were finding blood here. I mean, it wasn't good blood, but it wasn't hard to find. So just little mm-hmm. specks every 3 foot. Mm-hmm. So we probably tracked him 400 yards, and I get a call from the neighbor. I'm like, at this point, I kept this deer pretty quiet, you know, because I was probably the only one that had pictures of this deer besides people that drove around. And the neighbor called and like, hey, do you know about this mega giant? I'm like, yeah. And the neighbor's an outfitter, and he's like, well, we just had one of our guys get dropped off, and that was the first deer he's seen in Illinois, and he shot right over his back.
No kidding. And I'm like,
he's still alive. So he got out. I mean, we got out as quick as possible. Like, this deer's still alive. Let's just regroup. Thankfully, he didn't get shot by somebody that was in the tree for 30 minutes.
Right.
And I will say, I got a lot of respect for the outfitter, because when he found out that deer was there, they pulled like all of their hunters around that area. I'm like, man, this is, you know, I hate to say this deer was my deer, but the stars were lining up where like people knew how much effort was going into this. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know this deer's here. You try to kill him,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's
pretty cool.
A lot of respect to those guys.
Yeah, you don't hear about that often. That's pretty cool. For sure.
I mean, it was, so, and we're great friends, and we share pictures back and forth all the time. And I will say, the one thing I've learned about this, share pictures with your neighbors and be good with your neighbors, because you're only as good as your neighbor. Because if you think these deer just stay on your property, you're really wrong. And yeah, you should never say, man, that was my deer, I got pictures of him. Because I bet he's probably got pictures of him too, or
exactly
seen him
on. Exactly.
I mean, so fast forward from November 14th through gun season was starting, and he was kind of a ghost through gun season. I'm like, he either died because of the air, you know, everything is going through my mind, and mm-hmm. I didn't get a picture of him for like 2 weeks, and I was like checking all my cell cameras. Like, I usually get in a picture of him every night.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, he's dead. And finally, November 2nd, I believe, I started getting this picture again. And the wind just wasn't right for to hunt where he was at. And he really narrowed up on his core area. Mm-hmm. And on the December 8th, I got a picture at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Way back on the river, about 100 yards from where he actually died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I'm going in there. It's kind of a risky stand. I didn't have a great wind, but if he was at where I think he was going to be at, it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those stands that you have to walk literally 600 yards through the timber. And I just hate doing that.
Yeah.
And especially December 8th. And
right.
But I went with my gut, went ahead and did that. And it was just an eerie feeling all morning long, because even when I was walking into the woods, I'm like, man, I think this is going to happen today.
Sometimes and you feel it, you know, sometimes you just have a good feeling about the day.
Yeah. And it was a, It was an overcast morning. It was humid. I mean, I don't think Deercast said it was, I think it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and I, the morning started out like right when the sun came up, I stood up and I was like, I'm standing up. I think this is going to happen. And, you know, deer started running around in the woods and right by me. And it was probably 30 minutes after daybreak. I look over to my, over my shoulder to the right in a standing bean field. And he literally, like, I look over there and I'm like, is this real life? Like, he's standing right there at 50 yards.
Yeah.
And my camera was, I had it on the rest and my camera was looking right at him, but he literally came out at 5 yards, turned around and was getting back, going back into the woods. I'm like, all right, do I press play or do I pull the trigger? Well, I thought about for a half a second, I'm pulling the trigger.
Of course.
And I drilled him right behind the shoulder. He ran 50 yards, blood pouring out. And that was the end of the story for Towers.
Awesome, right there. Man.
And it was pretty cool. Where he died at was 100 yards away from where I got his picture on October 15th, where he entered the farm at. I mean, core area was just shrunk down so much, but it was a good spot to be at. I mean, the river was 75 yards to his west, a mm-hmm. bean field, bedding. He had everything. He literally didn't need to go 200 yards all day long.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, it was, I don't know. I literally see him every day because he's a full body mount on my kitchen table.
Oh, and no kidding. You have to give me some pictures of that.
Yeah, I'll send you some pictures. But yeah, it's on my dining room table. I look at him, you know, every day. And it's like, you know, people ask me, like, do you feel like, you know, you feel like not hunting as much anymore or like mm-hmm. killing this 215-inch deer? But literally, it struck a fire inside me even more after harvesting that, after that deer. I'm like, it doesn't have to. I'm not chasing 200-inch deer every single year. I can assure you that. Like, for yeah. instance, this year, I have been bouncing around farm to farm like no other because the deer I was after broke off his whole right side. And so he was probably 170-inch deer. So yeah, mark yeah. that one off the list. And right. I'm chasing a lot of, chasing a lot of ghosts this year that, you know, I see on the road but don't have any pictures of. I mean, yeah, it's been a yeah. rough year, but it's been a, you know, it's still fun.
Yeah, that's, I mean, just a way of paying you back for killing a Mondo, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, people say, well, you don't kill a deer every year. I'm like, no, I'd be happy if I kill a Booner once every 5 years. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I've passed on a lot of 140, even 150-inch deer this year if they're not mature. You
right,
know?
Right. So, which is cool. That's how you make a big deer like that. So what did the deer end up going yeah. officially?
215. That's obviously gross.
Congratulations, so, man. Yeah, that's a fun story, man. I like the history and I like how regular he was, like you were saying, because I actually had this conversation with Mark a few weeks ago. It's like the deer that you get a ton of pictures of and they're on every camera. They're kind of like, they're so consistently sporadic that it makes them difficult to hunt.
Yep. I mean, literally on November 13th from 7 o'clock in the morning till the time I wounded him, I got his picture on 8 different cameras on the farm. And it was just like, he was just checking in, you know,
right.
letting me know I was there, you know,
I love so, it, man.
I don't know. It was a pretty awesome experience. And, I wouldn't be mad if I kill another good one that I don't have to work just that hard for.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that one, it was a test for my wife, big time. Yeah, that's for sure.
Test the marriage real quick.
Yeah. And that was, had a little baby, first year too.
Congratulations.
So about a 3-month old baby. So we got 2 now though. So we're,
You're stacking them really on, man.
Full house. Yeah, stacking them on. You know, hopefully kill another 215 with him.
Hey, so. That'd be cool, man. Or maybe he'll kill one. But I'm sure your buck will go down as like a family heirloom, I'm hoping, especially if it's a full mount.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll send you some pictures. It's a pretty mount. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you doing this, even though you're working. You're the second guy to FaceTime in or call in from a cab of some sort of heavy equipment, a tractor. Now we got an excavator. I'm going to start keeping like a checklist as we do these segments of where people call in from.
Hey, yeah, working class bow hunter. What can you say?
That's what it's about, man. That's what it's about.
Yep.
Well, congrats, man. I appreciate you doing this segment and taking the time out of your busy day. I hope you kill another one just as big or bigger. You'll have to keep in touch with us, man, and we'll follow up with you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Kurt.
Hey, if you want to shout out quick your Instagram or anything like that, go ahead and do that now. Yeah, if you don't care.
You can find me on Instagram at Chase Taylor. So easy enough.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for watching and listening. Hope you enjoyed this Giant Tracker segment, and we will see you on the next one. Go shoot a giant. We love you guys.